This is Pamela Kuhn, and the curtain is up on Center Stage, the show about the arts and the artists behind their work. The beautiful music that you have just heard is that of Ralph Vaughan Williams, Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis. This is the choice of my guest today, Academy Award-winning makeup artist Lois Burwell. As we finish our episodic journey today discussing her life and work, I honor her once again with her favorite music choices. Lois shared with me that the Vaughan Williams always transports her home to the UK. For our final episode, I felt this music was the perfect send-off to her story. London-born, a lifetime of movie success, and her marriage to award-winning cinematographer John Toll has led her to her present home in California. Lois Burwell found her initial success when she was invited by director Bill Forsyth to be the makeup artist in the charming film Gregory's Girl. What followed was a literal tsunami of famous film directors who sought out her work. Legend, directed by Ridley Scott, The Fifth Element by Luc Besson, War Horse, Lincoln, Bridge of Spies, War of the Worlds, and Saving Private Ryan with Steven Spielberg. Almost famous with Cameron Crowe, and her Academy Award-achieving work in Braveheart with Mel Gibson. This is a short list of her work, and I invite all of you listening to look into Lois Burwell's long list of achievements. It is impressive for the many significant films that she has worked on, but also for the technical challenges involved. Just look to the prosthetic building on Ridley Scott's Legend, and you will see what I mean. This year, Turner Classic Movies Film Festival honored her for her lifetime contribution to the cinematic arts. In our initial interview, I referred to her as an alchemist in her craft. She has the talent to enhance and transform actors with a sense of magic. But Lois is the first to humbly declare that she is simply doing her job, and that she is a storyteller first. In parts 1 and 2 of this interview, we spoke about her beginnings and her work ethic. But she also shared the backstories about the complexities of her work on Saving Private Ryan, War Horse, Braveheart, and the reality of the Academy Award experience. I encourage everyone to find these interviews at my website, centerstagewithpamelakuhn.com, for the wisdom that Lois imparts. It's not just about makeup, it's about life. So sit back now and listen as we speak about her process and her craft on Lincoln, working with Daniel Day-Lewis, and what Lois refers to as the magic of the quiet yes. You know, many times when I interview professional musicians, you know, we talk about the performance. And I like to ask them the question, what do they enjoy most? Is it that moment of inspiration when they decide on a new program and they start to look at the music and really discover it? Or is it actually the performance itself? Now, I know I'm talking about two completely different things, which both have their own merit. But for you, what do you like to sit in the most?
Well, there are two things. I can't just choose one. Two things. Being asked to do a film, just being asked is always wonderful. Because someone wanting you and thinking you're good is absolutely a wonderful experience. But then what I really like, I tell you, the most magical moments I've experienced have always been on the same theme, which is actually doing the work can be bloody hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the cast and the time and the pressure of it all. I mean, it can be, it's not that moment. The moment of joy, I'm going to just mention Lincoln. So when we were, because this is really a very strong memory with me.
Yes.
I mean, it was a really exceptionally difficult film to do. And you had all that facial hair, all those wigs. It was, you know, and Kay George's wonderful hairstylist. And we had a wonderful facial hair maker called Terry Jarvis. So very blessed with the team. It was a tip-top team. But it didn't mean that the work's any easier. And we had in the House of Representatives, Mr. Lincoln wasn't shooting that day. So we still had 58 cast and 260 background. And on the floor of what was meant to be, the House of Representatives, but we were in Virginia, we had principals and background actors all sitting in a row, intermixed and intermingled. So everyone had to be of the same standard because otherwise you'll bounce out of the story. They wouldn't do a prequel for the background longer than 2 hours, where really we needed 3 to 3.5. So we had to get all that cast ready. We had 25 people working on the background and some of the principals. We had a core five who did the principals, including myself. So we were knocking people out. And that's hard
Wow.
with facial hair, let alone wigs as well, which a lot of them had. I would say it must have been at least 65 to about 65% had something added, either a wig or a beard or a moustache, or even if they'd grown their own, you had to dress it and all of that. Anyway, this is a long preamble and I hope you edit it. But anyway, so I walked to the set and I was exhausted and had had, quite a lot of bickering with production about the times and what the work was and all those things.
Okay.
And as you often do, it can, it does, it's not really horrible. It's just part of the job, and so I walked onto the set, walked into the House of Representatives, not with my head in a good place, thinking we've got to do the same thing tomorrow. Oh my God. So I walked in, and one of the actors was rehearsing a speech, and it was the Lincoln Africana speech. So Lee Pace was gesticulating. He was a very handsome man, anyway, and he was waving his arms and walking up and down. And everyone was in the rehearsal, and the extras were all going. And it looked so real. They all looked so wonderful. I started to cry because I've been distracted for a moment by the tussle with production, which, is nothing. In the end, what you're doing it for is that moment,
That moment, that's right.
that is exceptionally rewarding. And it's what I call the quiet yes. If you ever in your lifetime experience the quiet yes with your work, then how fortunate are you? And the quiet yes is, you're as close to how you want it to be as you can manage,
Wow.
given the limitations or but you're close to no strings, it being yes moment. And no one can give that to you and no one can take it away. There can be representations of it with awards or not.
Yeah.
But actually, that quiet yes is the most special of all.
See, that's that point in the interview I'm talking about that's so special. The quiet yes. I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life, Lois. That is really beautiful. And because there was so much going on in every scene in Lincoln, I mean, really. And the whole chiaroscuro, and again, the mud and the filth and the realism. And here you are developing a prosthetic for Daniel Day-Lewis to really represent this man. And it was successful.
It was successful, actually. And I remember when we, because there's many stories about working with Daniel Day. And he's a wonderful actor. And he has a process of getting into the character. And it's not really method. I mean, it really isn't. It's his own process, which you could kind of, gets described as being a method form, and he
Yeah.
inhabits the character, but it isn't fully like that. Anyway, he initially didn't really want to wear makeup and had thought that performance, or it be minimal. And he thought that performance could pull it through. And Stephen really wanted him to look like Lincoln because that's what everyone expected.
Right.
And Daniel's concern was that the process of the artifice would somehow take him out from inhabiting being Lincoln. I mean, I think that that's what it was. I mean, it wasn't expressed in that way to me, but
Correct.
that's it, but that's really what it was. So we had to find a way of, which you do with all makeup, to be perfectly honest. Any character makeup on an actor, you have to find the place where they can perform and you can do your job. So it's a marrying and a negotiation of creativity. That's what it is. And that's what we found. And when I say we, Kenny Myers was my second on that film, and we made up Lincoln together. We made up DDL together because we only had an hour and 15 minutes to do everything. I mean, absolutely everything,
Oh my
including
gosh.
hair. Because he couldn't sit in the chair and then go out and give a performance. I mean, that
Right.
was his. So we had to double team. And it's a double team process anyway, one of the things that we were doing, which is rather than the prosthetic, because the only prosthetic he wore was the mole. So the actual skin changing and feature changing was really heavily reliant on a process called stretch and stipple, where you need four hands basically to do it because you are stretching on pulls that then create wrinkles, shapes, and forms. And we did different layers in different areas on the face. And he did have ear pushes as well,
That's a
which
lot.
actually, by the end of the day, make your ears ache. I mean, that was something we had to take the pressure off, but we did the best we possibly could. And so most of it is kind of underpainting, creating these shapes every day anew. It wasn't as if you pull it out a mold. You had to do it and form it with your hands at lightning speed and then color over the top and then maintain that during the day. So it was challenging for everyone. And plus the fact that I'm English and so's Daniel. And there was, which I prefer anyway, as I said to you, I can't talk when, oh no, I'm gabbling away now, but I can't actually talk when I'm working
Correct.
very well. So it suited me because he didn't want to hear me speak because I'm English. And so is he. And he was worried about, well, not worried, but concerned that it would bounce him out somehow. So we did the makeup in silence. And therefore, Kenny became the person who could speak. And I think I took it literally, and Daniel wasn't expecting me to take it really that far. But then, of course, one of the great teases on the set, because Stephen does have a sharp sense of humour. I mean, he's a fun person, he's got a very good sense of humour. But of course, both he and Adam Sumner, the first AD, found it endlessly amusing to ask me a question standing right by the side of Mr. Lincoln, that I was meant to answer and of course couldn't. So then they came up with that silly questions to ask,
Oh my gosh. Oh my
knowing I
God.
couldn't respond. Anyway, so we you can have levity on a film set, and that's part of the fun of it.
And I
But
think it would be much needed on something like Lincoln. I mean, it is such a powerful it's a film of gravitas.
oh,
So
absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And we did have giggles sometimes. I mean, things just happen. For example, I told you that, you're doing the stretch and stuff. So my hands were there and you couldn't move. And at this point, poor Daniel had a bad back. He'd done something to his back. So he couldn't sit in the chair for long. So he was standing up and he is like 6 foot 4. I mean, he's, Lincoln height. And of course, you don't know how tall I am, but I'm a shortstop. I'm kind of 5'2", And Kenny's not much bigger either, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, so we were now, he was leaning on the back of the makeup chair, and we were balanced on apple boxes doing this makeup.
No.
So to
Oh.
reach his face and then to do the holds while you had to use the hairdryer and dry it and then powder in between, and you can't let go. Whatever you do, you can't let go because
Oh
then you've
my.
lost the stretch and you have to start all over again.
Oh my gosh, all of
So
them.
it's a kind of pressurized thing to do, and very awkward on apple boxes. Anyway, so one day, and bearing in mind I couldn't speak, so one day Kenny glued my thumb to Daniel's forehead. And of course, I couldn't say, "You've glued my thumb to Daniel's forehead." So I'm gesticulating with my head, going, staring at my thumb as if, pay attention, get the release, because I couldn't move. So of course there was a kind of like a shuffle, and then it was like, "Oh, I've glued your thumb to the floor." And of course Daniel started to laugh. So because he got a good sense of it, he bounced out of it. And then another time he really did laugh, and was the person who broke the silence. Was, as I said to you, you do the, and then you powder in between. So of course Kenny goes like this with the powder to knock off excess powder off the brush, and then goes over the area and then turns back to get more, while I'm standing there like this. And he'd covered my glasses with the powder and the whole of my face, and I couldn't see. I couldn't see. I couldn't move. My hands are still there. I was just like a whiteout. And of course, Daniel looks in the mirror and sees the fact that I'm blind because I've got powder on, and just bursts out laughing. So you start off to,
This
it's
thing of
life.
not being able to speak is definitely crippling. Lois, these stories, I love it. I love it. So that kind of plays into one of my questions, which is really the physicality of what you do. I mean, you're talking about balancing yourself on apple boxes, being blinded, you can't speak. How do you deal with that all day? I mean, these film hours are long. You're there from morning to night. How do you cope with the physicality of it?
Well, hopefully I keep myself as fit as I possibly can. I could be fitter actually at the moment, to be perfectly honest. And I don't know if I could do that now. I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
As time passes, you go, well, I could do that then. No, nothing to say out and do it now. You hope you can. But over the course of my career, I've been hiding in cupboards, I've been under tables. As a camera comes round, if you're doing a blood rig, you just drop to the ground. I've had to fall into grasses in the middle of the night. One time I was hiding behind a bush on Air America in the jungle in Thailand on a night shoot. And of course, the lights bring out every flying object, every creepy crawly. I
Oh
mean,
God.
I actually had to walk 10 minutes to just sit in a van where there weren't things heaving and moving around me. Otherwise, I'd have screamed. I mean, that's how bad it was. Anyway, I was down behind this bush, and there's a scorpion like 5 inches away from me. But you don't cry out because
Of
it's a
course.
take, and you're not going to ruin the take. So you just sit with it and then go, "Hello, someone help me." I mean,
Protect me from all the creepy crawlies. Yeah.
once on Lincoln, we were in the theatre scene. So there's Sally and DDL, but it was a fake box. So there wasn't a gangway to get to either of them. And it was really very narrow with a drop down, a real drop. It wasn't on the ground floor that had been created on the side up high. But there was no way for me to go around. So there was just this narrow edge. And I started to go around, and all of a sudden I felt a hand. I felt a hand go down, this is true, go down the back of my trousers, and holding on to basically the back of my trousers and my knickers. And it was and it was Daniel. It was Mr. Lincoln, because he was so worried about me falling, which I could have done actually. Falling off. It wasn't like I was tied to something. And of course, I'm concentrating, doing my hands like this. And I thought, whose hand's down my trousers?
It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Holding on in case I fell off. So, you have these kind of ridiculous things. that happen. And I used to never sit. Actually, on 80 for Brady, I had a chair. I had a little tiny, non-noticeable chair. I hate having a chair on set, but on 80 for Brady, I did because I started to get tired.
Yeah.
And normally I stand. I'm one of the people that stand all the time.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm known for that, actually. But these days, I'll take a chair.
Yeah, I think so, Lois. I think so. Lois, you must write a book, and I really hope there's one in the offing. Any chance of this in the future for us?
I don't think so. I
Oh.
don't think so because I remember there was a, I can't remember whose biography it was actually, where there was, mention of conversations or whatever. I mean, I don't think anything I've said today anyone would be offended by. Do you know what I mean? And it's true and it comes from a good place. But there was something that revealed about someone in a, and I was working with the actor who was mentioned within this biography at the time. And he said, I'm sitting on a film set with a fellow actor. That's what I'm doing. I'm being in real time. I didn't think that it was going to be then used as some kind of book later on. And it affects how I interact with people. So no, I won't do a book. Not unless I outlive everyone else. Then I
Understood.
will.
Of course, we have to have these stories. They're so delightful. I mean, you've been so honest with me. I adore it. So, Lois Burwell, tell me, what is the legacy that you want to leave behind in your work? What is the one thing you want to leave behind or be respected for the most?
Well, what I've always wanted, actually, to be perfectly honest, is to be known amongst my peers as the person who would always, get someone who was retired or going through a hard time, that I would be able to help my colleagues with a day's work, even if they might be past their sell-by date,
Oh.
purely because they've got a gas bill to pay or whatever, and find
Yeah.
something. I mean, without ripping off the production, obviously. And I would like to be known on the other end of the scale to be the person who can encourage and bring on new talent and help them develop, which I do through the Gold Programme. And I've always had trainees on every film I've ever done, including union films, if I can and get dispensation for them. Because there's something awful about spending years and years knocking at a door, and when the door's open for you, you go in and go, "Oh, I don't like this." So you give them the chance to actually see what it is first. So that's, and to be fair, actually, I mean, I don't. That's what I would like my legacy to be, that they'd look back and think that I was a fair sort of person to work with.
You know, this sounds frightfully English to me. And after having lived in England for 20 years, that's a compliment to you. I think you bring a particular form of work ethic from your background to your work, and I appreciate that. And you know, I've got to ask always my question on Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, and that is there one word or phrase that really describes who you are to the depth of your soul? What would it be?
Well, actually, I tell you what, I think it would be. I'm not really a Monty Python fan, I hasten to add. I mean, I'm not a devotee of them, but it would be a scene because it's got to be a film reference. It has to be.
Okay.
So it's a scene from The Life of Brian where there are all these people gathered, and the speaker is saying, "We're all individuals." And there's one bloke far at the back who goes, "I'm not."
It. This is quite possibly the most surprising and out of left field, but this is great. That's fantastic. I've got to tell you, I am a lover of Monty Python, so I love it you wound that in. That's fantastic, Lois. You dare. You actually take risks. You dare. You're a fantastic colleague. All of these wonderful stories. I could go on talking to you for, I don't know, all night, and I would love
Oh,
every
bless
moment
you.
of it. But you know, I've got to leave you now and go host a soirée,
I
to
know.
be
How
honest.
wonderful is that? I wish I could beam in. Yeah.
I think my pianist is lurking in the background, waiting to get to the piano.
Oh, bless. No,
You
do. Well,
know,
thank you. for this.
When we met at TCM, it was a little bit of kismet, and I loved it that I sat down next to you and didn't realize who I was sitting next to. But yet I had yearned to have an interview with you, and I am so pleased that that serendipitous event has allowed us to do this. And I've got to thank you for your time because I know it's precious. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are the alchemist of movie magic, along with Steven Spielberg. And I know you're going to be humble to that, but you really are.
Thank you.
Wear it, baby, and
Ah,
enjoy.
bless you.
And to all my listeners out there, I want you to know if you go online and put in Lois Burwell, you're going to come up with an entire canvas of opportunity to hear her speak, to watch her work, to see all the beauty of her craftsmanship in makeup and this world of magic in movies. So, Lois, thank you again for being on Center Stage. What an honor.
Oh, bless you. You take care of yourself.
Lois Burwell is fun, passionately dedicated to her craft, and such a breath of fresh air. I asked her if there was a book in the future, and she said no. Well, not for now, but I hope that changes. Her stories are the magic that she refers to for us all. I hope you will seek her work out at all movie database websites and all over YouTube. Please go to centerstagewithpamelacoon.com to hear my complete interviews with Lois Burwell and to hear many more shows with artists sharing their personal and professional journeys. Until we meet again, stay safe, everyone. This is Pamela Coon, and the curtain is now down on Center Stage.